Good morning, church. So today's scripture will be coming from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. But before we read, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, we come to you grateful, waking us up this morning, bringing us here safely. Clear our minds, open our hearts as we receive this message, as we worship you, as we glorify you. Pray for those who are struggling mentally, physically, spiritually. You know, lay your hand on them and direct them, Father, into a direction that you would see pleasing. Guide us, Father. Guide us with our decisions. Let us be a shining light as Christians, that we may represent ourselves as proper examples that is pleasing unto you. And we ask that when we receive this message today, that we will be able to use it and apply it in a way that exemplifies us as rightful Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. 1 Kings 18:21, and it reads, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word." Again, that's 1 Kings 18:21.
Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. We will be home of the soul. Blessed kingdom of light, and we will be free from all care. And wherefore let no night off in the storm, we are sighing for thee. And beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Amen.
Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Amen. I'm going to say good morning, and whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor or a virtual guest, I am grateful that you are here today. I'm grateful that God has blessed us with yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among the saints of God. I know you're all excited because the summer is coming. It's getting hot, and there's some people who just love the heat, right? We thank God for all his blessings in our lives, provisions for food, health, welfare, and the weather as well. Because just as the sunshine comes, there has to be rain. And we're grateful for God for all of those things in our lives. And shortly, I'm opening my Bible to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And my invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as a context for today's lesson, Split Decision, the book of Proverbs. Today we want to specifically speak to those that are graduates. Once a year we, as tradition might have it, get together as a congregation and we honor those that have graduated. And today is such an occasion. And just as we're going to speak to the graduates, we're going to speak in the ears of everyone that's present here as well. I want to say congratulations to those that have graduated. Congratulations to those that have graduated from the sins of the world to the kingdom of God as well. Amen. There are a lot of people who would say, and they would say it confidently, "I don't need any advice from anybody about anything. I don't need anything. I just don't." But the truth is, we all need advice if we're going to learn to be wise. A lot of us are in the same boat. We do the same thing every day of our lives. We make decisions. Everybody makes them. And Solomon says, get all the advice that you can get so you can be wise the rest of your life. And that's a good proclamation, but some people don't want wisdom at all. They don't want it. He goes on to say the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You know, the essence of wisdom is the ability to make good decisions. Not just to decide on any and everything. The essence of wisdom is to make good decisions. And since we all face a lot of decisions every single day, we have a lot of situations where there's a need for the wisdom that comes from God. We need that wisdom to be able to raise our children. We need that wisdom to be able to handle our money. We need that wisdom to know how to deal with people and how to behave. We need that wisdom to know how to respond when we get angry and send out, how to conduct ourselves at work, and most importantly, how to live a way that truly will honor and glorify Jesus Christ and all that he is, and all that he has become in our lives. Making good decisions, no doubt, includes listening to godly advice. Not just listening to any old thing. If you want wisdom, you got to listen to godly advice. And Solomon has a lot to say about that in the book of Proverbs. But what I want to tell you is that in advance, that in these passages that I chose today from the book of Proverbs, we're going to be coming from a variety of translations. I'm usually a New King James Version kind of guy. Now, stay away from translations like the Living Bible and the Message and the Good News. But in the book of Proverbs, when you read those translations from the book of Proverbs, it does a good job of capturing the intent of that proverb. So I'm going to be using several different translations this morning so that we might indeed get the idea of what God is trying to say to us today. There's a quote that's attributed to several different writers, but I think that because of all that, I think it's anonymous, and the quote says, good decisions come from experience, and experience comes from bad decisions. Good experience comes from bad decisions. And there's a lot of truth to that, but I think it's only half correct, because if it's true that if I make a mistake, if I do something that has a negative consequences, then I have the opportunity to learn from that mistake. I can learn not to make that mistake all over again, which means that as a result of that, I've gained some wisdom which can be used to make better decisions in the future in my life. Here's what I mean. Husbands, listen to me real good now. This is what I mean. Many of the husbands have gained wisdom in their lives because they know just what to say to their wives, and they know just not what to say to their wives. And the way they got that wisdom is because they said the wrong things and had to pay for it. You know, the food that you're cooking is just not as good as my... And let me tell you, when they come to you and they have that new dress on, they ask you how they look in that new dress, you better just, if you got wisdom, amen, and think about what you say before you say it. Or you find that they're celebrating a birthday and you bring them a new vacuum cleaner for their birthday. There are a lot of us who have learned wisdom from being married many, many years. And we've learned to make those good decisions because for so long in our marriages we've made bad decisions, and we've learned from those bad decisions, and we continue to live our lives. Wisdom comes from experience, no doubt. It comes from experience. And that experience comes from the bad decisions we made over the years. And there's some truth to that as well. But that's not the only way we get wisdom. See, there's another way to gain wisdom as well. I can gain wisdom, if I want to, by listening to others. I can learn from my own mistakes, but I can also learn from the mistakes of others as well, or from the wisdom that others are willing to share with me from their own experiences. There's a proverb that says, listen to your elders, not because they are always right, because they have more experience at being wrong. Right? I mean, you don't have to pile up a bunch of credit card debt to know that it's not a good idea. You don't have to do that. You can learn from the mistakes that others have made that are buried in debt and can never get out. If you do that, you got to suffer the consequences by making that mistake yourself, even when you see other folks going down the drain with the same decision. At the end of the day, there's a great deal more wisdom to be found in listening to others as opposed to insisting on doing it ourselves. Because every last one of us in here, we don't need advice from anybody. We got it handled. We know what it is we want. We make our decisions and we run with that. Forget about what everybody else decides. For me, I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm not going to listen to what anybody else has to say. But Solomon said in Proverbs 21:11, simpletons only learn the hard way, but the wise learn by listening. People who have great wisdom have learned not only to seek the right kind of advice, but they have also developed the ability, listen to me, to take advice. Some people can't take advice at all. All they want to do is just give. You can't take it. All they want to do. And listen, getting advice is very easy. You can find it anywhere that you look. Giving advice is very easy, and getting it is very easy. But my point is this. There's a lot of advice out there, and there are plenty of people who are more than willing to give you their opinion on just about everything. Everything. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And the problem that I have sometimes is when you don't ask people for advice, and they give it to you anyway. And my thing is that if they give it to you anyway, you didn't ask for it, it's worth exactly what you paid for it. It's worth absolutely nothing. And sometimes when you take that wrong advice, it can actually make things worse for you. Make things worse for you. You know, God brings us to 1 Kings chapter 12. That isn't on the board. But there's a king. His name is Rehoboam. And Rehoboam succeeded his father, King Solomon. And Rehoboam was approached by the people of Israel. They came together to speak to him. And he said, you know, your father made our yoke very heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burden of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to leave me for about 3 days, come back, and I'm going to give you a decision. So Rehoboam went and he consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And the elders said, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. If you will do this, the elders said, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the wise counsel of the elders. And he consulted young men, his peers, who had grown up. It says the people that had grown up with him, he consulted them. He says, how should I answer these people? They want me to lighten their load, which my father put on them. I want you to understand, when people look at Rehoboam, look at Rehoboam as a young man trying to make decisions. But I want to tell you, he was about 41 years old. And doesn't matter how old you are, you could still be a fool. Amen? 41, he should have known better than that, right? He went to ask for advice from the elders, and he rejected the advice from the elders. He says, I'm just going to listen to my, I'm going to listen to my peeps, right? The people that grown up with him, I'm going to hear what they got to say, right? He said, your father made that yoke easy. You make it light on us. But you tell him that we're not going to make the yoke light on you at all, but I'm going to chastise you over and over again. My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke with whips, and I will chastise you with beatings. So the king did not listen to the people at all, and the people turned away from him. And that decision that he made was a split decision, because the kingdom of God was split at that particular time, the kingdom of Israel into the kingdom of Judah. Before the kingdom was gathered together under the wisdom of Solomon, But here comes his son, devoid of wisdom, and the kingdom splits into Israel and Judah. Now we can make all the decisions in the world that we want to, but sometimes in our lives, the decisions that we make actually separate us from the kingdom of God as well. We make split decisions. We know what decisions we ought to make. We know what decisions are good because we are smart people, right? But our heart sometimes tends to lean in the selfish way, and we choose those things that only benefit us and nobody else. And it's a split decision. Solomon tells us about three things that we ought to use when taking advice. The first thing that he says to us is be selective. You know, you've graduated from high school or college or wherever it is you've graduated from, and you've got a lot of decisions that you've got to make right now. Even if you hadn't graduated, if you're an elder person or somebody that's been married for quite some time, you've got a decision you've got to make right now. And what Solomon says is that you need to be selective. You shouldn't just take advice from anyone, even though it may seem at times that everyone is trying to give you advice. You have got to choose who you are going to listen to. Paul says, let God be true and every man become a liar as it is written. We listen to everything and nothing, and we never ever want to listen to God. We need to choose who we're going to listen to, which is one of the reasons why I'm just so wary about people that give you advice when you don't ask for it. People who are wise, they rarely attempt to give you advice until you ask for it, because they know you have to be ready to hear the advice before it's going to do you any good. People don't just randomly come to you and say, look, let me just give you advice about a pair of shoes. You might not want to hear anything about shoes. Before you seek advice from anyone regarding a problem that you're having, regarding a problem that you are facing, you have got to be careful to choose the right person to give you counsel. Rehoboam had the opportunity to do that. He consulted the elders and he consulted his boys. Proverbs 14:7 says, if you're looking for advice, stay away from fools. Stay away from fools. In other words, you stay away from the people who want to tell you how to make decisions in the area of your life that they don't do a good job in themselves, right? I mean, Elizabeth Taylor, would you go to her for marriage? Steve Harvey, a lot of people love him. He can't tell me nothing about them books he's written about marriage. Not one thing. You've been married 4 times, you're a loser. You wouldn't go to the Cleveland Browns to ask how to win a Super Bowl, right? I can't tell you that. I'm not gonna talk about the Saints. I'm gonna skip that. Listen, when you need advice, what we need to do is seek out people you admire and respect and who have the credibility, listen to me, who have the credibility to give you good advice. Solomon said in Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise, they become wise. So before you go to anyone for advice, there are several things you need to look for. First of all, you look for somebody that has experience. Look for somebody who's been there and done that and has got the T-shirt. Look for them. I mean, if you're poor and you just want to become rich, you don't go to a poor person and ask them how to become rich. They can't tell you that. That's the exact same reason why God trained Moses differently. Because Moses couldn't lead a bunch of slaves with a slave mentality. You with me? Find someone who's faced the same kind of challenges that you're facing right now, and they have been successful in an endeavor, and you ask them how they did it. Ask them how they did it. People learn from one another, just as iron sharpens iron, the proverbial writer says. That's why they develop a 12-step program, and that's why it's so successful. There's nothing magical about it at all. The power in that movement comes from one person helping another person to overcome their struggles. It's one-on-one. That's what it is. But if you talk to someone who successfully overcome the problem you're facing right now, it could be a marital problem. It could be a sin problem. It could be a problem raising your child. It could be some kind of addiction. If you talk to them, whatever it might be, they will be in a position to give you good advice on how to deal with the situation because they have been through it already. Been through it. Don't talk. Listen, one of the things that I hate more than anything else is these youth conferences where they get youth to come up and talk to other youth about experiences that they might have 30 years from now. Nobody can look into it. They don't have no crystal ball. You can't, if you 16 years old, you can't talk to me nothing about what the world's got to offer me. You can talk to me about recess. I can hear that. But listen, we have to talk to people that have experience, someone who's been there. Secondly, and what we don't never think about is we've got to get advice from someone who has your best interest at heart. Because when we ask for advice, we put ourselves in a vulnerable position. And you need to be certain that the person that you're talking to has your best interest at heart. That they're not advising you out of a self-serving or hidden agenda. Because there are some people that actually do that. They're deceitful. You go to them for advice and they find that they can take advantage of you, and they do that. They do that. Sometimes advice is just totally diplomatic. They're only going to give you advice that will suit themselves and not necessarily what is best for you. We've been there. We've been deceived by people with advice, every last one of us. And we have learned from that, right? Solomon says it's better to correct someone openly, Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. It's better to correct someone openly than let him think you don't care for him at all. Friends mean well, even when they hurt you. But when an enemy puts his arm around your shoulder, Solomon says, you watch out. Watch out. You find someone, listen to me, find someone who has your best interest at heart. And what we need to do more than anything else, because we love this, we've got to find somebody who has the courage to tell us the truth. I mean, if you really want wisdom, you need to listen most carefully to those people who are going to disagree with you and not go along with what you want all the time. Who are honest enough to tell you the truth about yourself. Because godly counsel is of no value if you only listen to those people who believe exactly what you believe and want to tell you exactly what you want to hear. If someone says something to you that you don't agree with, you need to pay attention to that because it needs to be investigated. Because some of us think we know everything about everything. And who in here does? Who in here knows everything? None of us. Not one of us. Maybe I do. Listen, one of the characteristics of a great leader, listen to me. One of the characteristics of a great leader is that they do not surround themselves with yes men. You with me? They don't have a whole harem of yes men, because yes men are people who only say what you want to hear. And some leaders have yes men around them because that's what they want. They want to hear that. But great leaders know you can't build a strong kingdom. You can't build a strong family. You can't build a strong foundation by people only telling you what you want to hear. We've got to speak the truth one to another. Got to do it. I might get mad if you come to me and tell me something that about myself. I might get mad, but in the long run, you've done me some good. The madness is going to go away. It's going to go away. But the help will be eternal. Will be eternal. I mean, in 2 Chronicles, you know, King Ahab was the king of Israel, and he wanted to go into battle against the nation of Syria. He had 400 prophets that he went to for advice, but you know what the prophets did? They always told the king what he wanted to hear. As long as they did everything that he wanted to do, they were fine. So he says, listen, I'm going into battle, and I want to know if God is going to give me victory. Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, he says, listen, I don't know if I want to listen to what your people are telling you, because there's a prophet that's in town that can tell us exactly what God says. One man who inquired of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Ahab says, I hate him. Why do you hate him? Because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He never tells me what I want to hear. That's why I hate him. Isn't that incredible? We don't want to deal with anybody that's going to tell us what we want to hear. We don't want to deal with you. If you're going to be in my corner, you're going to be able to tell me exactly what it is that I want to hear every time I ask. He loved for people to approve of what he said and did. And anytime anyone would say no to him, he couldn't handle it. How about you? People are going to say no to you more than not, and how do you handle that? So they sent for Micaiah, the messenger, 2 Chronicles tells us. And he said, listen, Micaiah, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. In other words, what I want you to do when you talk to the king, you tell him what he wants to hear. Because that's what the prophets do. You make sure you do the same thing. They've been lying to him. I want you to lie to him. How many of us lie because somebody else is lying? We know full well it's not the truth. We let them go headlong down the wrong road, taking those lies every waking moment of their lives. But you know, the man of God wasn't a yes man. He was a man of God. And he can only speak the things that God said for him to speak. Let God be true and every man become a liar. He told Ahab that if you went to battle, you would die on that battlefield. Ahab got angry, and one of his yes men slapped Micaiah in the face, and they threw him in jail because they didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. How do we behave when people don't tell us the things that we want to hear? Angry, spitting, cursing. Get out of my house. I don't want to hear that. How do you behave when you tell them about the gospel and they don't want to hear the gospel? They get angry all the time. Paul says, am I then become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Right? How do you receive that? King Ahab was killed in that very battle that the prophet warned him about. The very battle that the yes men said, no, you're not going to die. There are a lot of things out there in the world that's telling us the opposite from what God says. And we fall headlong into that. Getting advice from other people is very important. But if you're going to surround yourself with people who are always going to agree with what you think is right, who aren't honest enough to tell you what you need to hear, you're headed in the wrong direction. And their advice is useless. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. If you profit from constructive criticism, you will be elected to the Wise Men's Hall of Fame. But to reject criticism is to harm yourself and your own best interests. So when you go to someone for advice, listen to me. When you go to someone for advice, make sure they have your best interests at heart. Because a lot of us have taken advice from the wrong person. Wrong person. Find someone who cares about you, someone who loves you, someone who's going to be honest with you, someone who's going to tell you the truth about yourself. You be selective about that. And once you become selective about that, you be receptive to what they're going to say. Because only the wise man is willing to admit his mistakes, change his behavior, and improve his life. And that's one of the main reasons why I think we hesitate to seek advice is because we're afraid of hearing something that we don't want to hear. And specifically, what we don't want to hear is that we need to change something regarding our behavior. We don't want to hear that. Are you going to tell me how to act? Look how you acting. People go to the dentist. They don't want to hear what the dentist got to say. They're reluctant to go. Because they say the dentist is going to tell them what they don't want to hear, so they'd rather live with a toothache. Same thing with sin. People don't want to hear what God has to say, so they'd much rather live with the pain of sin in their lives than take advice from God's word. One of the reasons why people have problems in marriages is they're struggling because they're hesitant to go to a counselor. We ought to be glad to go to a counselor. Some of them go to a counselor and they wouldn't hesitate to go if they knew that the counselor would say, you know, you're right and she's wrong and she needs to change. Or we all would go. All would go. But that's not how it works, and you know that. He's more likely to tell me that I'm wrong and I need to change, and I don't want to hear that. So I'm not going to go to a counselor. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that the Church of Christ is the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood and that the Catholic and the Baptist and the Presbyterian, that's not the church that God chooses. I don't want to hear that. Never mind that it's going to save your soul. Never mind that you're going to gain eternity. Never mind in your marriage that if you go to the counselor, it can save your marriage. You don't want to listen to somebody telling you what you need to do. Don't want to do that. Because we're grown now. We just graduated from high school. I graduated from high school at 17. I knew everything about everything. Look back at it today. I'm like my son. You see, my son told me at 16, he says, "Daddy, you know what? I'm smarter than you." I said, "You're right about that. That's in your own mind. You're right." But then I asked him a series of questions, and all those answers was no. I says, "Well, today is not the day. Someday you will be smarter than me, and we're going to celebrate that. And the day has come. He's smarter than me now. But back then, he wasn't. And we are not smarter than God. And we've got the audacity to sit in the church, do what we want to do, and tell God, you know what, God? I'm smarter than you. Let me tell you something. Not today. Not today. Not any day. We don't want to hear that. We need to change, because that change is going to save our very souls. Save our souls. Ecclesiastical writer says in Ecclesiastes 4:13, it is better to be a poor but wise youth than to be an old and foolish king who refuses all advice. 13:13, Proverbs. If you refuse good advice, you're asking for trouble. Follow it and you will be safe. But you know, we've got a lot of pride when it comes to advice and hearing things. We all think we know what's best. And we think we know what's best in every situation. Girl, let me tell you about that. I done been through that. Man, listen, if you do that this way, your wife gone. No. We follow the advice of the world far too much and not godly counsel. Because of our pride. We believe that the assessment of every situation in our lives is the correct one. We believe that. And that's exactly the reason why teenagers think they're just as wise as their parents. Oh, wait a minute, you don't understand, Mom, Daddy, you don't understand. I got this. The teenagers got a problem with that. They think they're just as wise as their more experienced parents. And what I hate more than anything else is you get a father in a house where there's a mother and the kids and the family is whole, and the father dies and the kid is 7 years old. You know what they tell that little boy? What did they tell him? Isn't that foolish? You're the man of the house. You ain't even a man. Don't be the man of the house. Stop doing that. I'm still trying to be the man in my house. I got to ask my wife about that every now and then. And I ain't seven. Teenagers, listen. They don't want to listen to anyone else. And they will act like everyone sees the situation wrong except for them. That's what they do. It's like they become a different person. Because I tell you, look, at one time in my life, I did not like my children. God's truth, I didn't, and I told them I didn't like them. I love them now. I wouldn't trade them for the world, right? Because they're growing mature into things that they need to. And through God's word and his teaching, it helps us to develop better relationships, not only with God, but with each other as well, right? But some of us want to see that problem only in young people. We don't want to see the problem in us as well as we get older. We need humility. We need humility to admit that I might not be seeing things correctly. Humility will do that for you. I'm not seeing this correctly. How many of us can say that? We don't want to say it because our pride gets in the way. I need a perspective from someone on the outside who loves me, who cares about me enough to tell me the truth about myself. I'm going to tell you right now, ask your kids, they'll tell you. Your kids will tell you the truth about yourself to the point to where you don't even want to talk to them anymore. They'll give it to you. But as adults, we feel like we're being rude to each other. We don't want to tell each other the truth about ourselves. Because the first thing we're going to hear is, you mind your own business. Well, that's what I'm doing, right? Mind my business. Aren't we connected as one in the church? Aren't we one body, right? When the eye hurts, it affects the leg, right? But we got so much godly advice and so much godly wisdom and so much of God in us. You mind your own business. I can drink if I want as a Christian. You mind your own business. I can curse if I want as a Christian. I don't curse all the time, and I use small curse words. You mind your business. Proverbs 15:33 says, humility and reverence for the Lord will make you both wise and honored. I want to tell you something here. Just because you made a foolish decision one time in your life doesn't mean you have to keep on making foolish decisions. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid that. But you're going to continue to flounder in the same decisions until you open your heart to the advice of godly people. We got to have enough courage to have the humility that comes from God to be receptive to the advice and be willing to hear the things that we just don't want to hear, right? La, 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 la. And we walk out and we close the door behind us, or we leave, or listen, some people come home and start a fuss so they can leave because they don't want to hear the things that need to be heard. You know I'm right about that. That's the reality of things. It's the reality of it all. Solomon said in Proverbs 12:1, if you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it, and how short-sighted to refuse correction. So seek that advice. Be completely open to that advice. Be receptive to it. Because when it comes to getting advice, you've got to be selective, receptive, and thirdly, you have got to be objective. You need to understand that there's no one person in this world that has all the answers. There's no one person that you can go to for advice for everything all the time. Listen, getting advice isn't about letting other people make decisions for you. Getting advice is about a process. It's about a process of viewing your own problems yourself so that you can make the right decision. And that decision that you make, it belongs to you. But we make excuses. Oh, the devil made me do it. Flip Wilson, right? Well, somebody told me to do it this way, right? Didn't research and evaluate anything like that. Just headlong, took the advice, and you're gone with it. But the decision ultimately belongs to you. So even if you follow someone else's advice, that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility for your actions because it's your decision. You're the one that's got to live with the consequences or you're the rewards. So you've got to make that decision with an objective view of your own situation. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. You know, sometimes the best thing we could do is go to more than one person for advice. And the chances are when you do that, you're going to hear a lot of different and varying opinions. You will. But that's not necessarily, it's not a bad thing because it gives us the opportunity to look at it from all sides, not just our own point of view. The more input you get, the more research you ought to do, and the better the decision will be in the long run. But understand again, it's your decision. You've got to live with it. You have to face the consequences or reap the rewards. So make sure that you are objective about the problem when you're facing it. Listen, there's a lot of things out there in this world that we have to tackle. A lot of things that you as new graduates have to tackle. But what I want to encourage you to do is to seek out godly advice in all that you do. And when you need to ask yourself about the advice that you're going to take, ask yourself, has the person been there and done that? Do they have the experience to even guide me? Have they demonstrated wisdom in the area that I'm struggling with? Does this person have my best interests at heart? Am I going to trust whatever they say? To come from a heart of love, to come from a heart of love and not deceit and dishonesty. Is that person honest with me? Are they going to tell me the truth, what I need to hear, and not just what I want to hear? We're going to face tough decisions in our lives. We all will. But you see the result of God's promise. Proverbs 19:20 says, get all the advice and instruction you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life. You see that? Proverbs 19:20. Get all of the advice and instruction you can so that you will be wise. How long? Man, it's incredible. Some people don't want to be wise today. Forget about the rest of their life, but the proverbial writer says that. And here's what I want to tell you, graduates. Here's what I want to tell you, those that are in the church, or maybe you're not graduates, you're older or whatever. Listen to me. Don't leave the church. Too many young people graduated high school, they go to college or graduate college, and they get out of college and they leave the church. Listen to me. Don't leave the church. The temptation is out there. It's out there. And the longer you stay away from God, the harder it's going to be to return to Him. It's going to be a split decision, a decision to split away from God, because you've got all the answers and you're wallowing in sin. You know, Proverbs 26:11 says this, we're familiar with it. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Peter said that in 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. He says, for after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in the, and they're being overcome. And the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment of God delivered to them. But it has happened. According to the true proverb, a dog returns his own vomit, and a sow having washed to wallowing in the mire. Don't leave the church. You've graduated from school, you've got a lot ahead of you. You've graduated from college, you've got a lot ahead of you. Don't leave God out of the picture. Don't leave him out of your life. I'm begging you, don't leave the church. Because the reality of the situation is, there are some people sitting in here right now, some people outside of my voice right now, they're here presently, physically in the body, but they have left the church. Left the church. Think about it. Think about the decision that you've made. If you're just going through a routine, a ritual, every Sunday, every Wednesday, whatever the case might be, and you have left God behind. Because you want the world to see that you are a Christian. You want them to see that. You don't want to teach them anything about God. We're just going through a routine, a ritual, and we have abandoned God. So the bottom line in all this is, Elijah came to the people. There were 400 prophets of Baal, right? He looked at them, and he says, listen, Ahab, gather all of Israel together and bring them up to this mountain. Bring them there. And it's a question I have to ask you, how long will you falter between two opinions? How long will you stumble between, we have got to make a decision. How long will you waver between two opinions? We have a split decision when it comes to our earthly life and God. The decision is split. It shouldn't be split at all. If the Lord is our God, then follow him. But if the world out there that you're going to follow, because you've graduated and you've got all the answers now, if the world is your God, he says, go ahead and follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Why? Because they're going to do just like we do, and that is what we want to do, not necessarily what God wants us to do. So I'm imploring you, as graduates, as people in the Church of Christ that have been enlightened by the words of God, don't leave the church. Don't leave. The time has come to make a decision. Either we answer the call of God or remain in bondage to sin. The ecclesiastical writer said in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, the conclusion of the whole matter is this. He says, you fear God, you, nobody else, you fear God, and you keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's your duty. And God will bring every deed into the judgment. You can't hide anything. And every secret thing, he's bringing into the judgment. So don't think that it won't count against you at all. He sees it all. We can't hide from God. A lot of people want to claim themselves as being Christians. But you know what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32? We know the second part of it. We know where it says, if you know the truth, the truth's going to set you free. But I want you to hear what Jesus said in verse number 31. He said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That's what he said. You've got to abide in my word and become my disciples, and you've got to believe in my word. To those that had believed him, he said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Wasn't just talking to anybody out there. To those that have believed, and that's what we have to do. We have to believe the advice that God sends us. And if we believe that advice, the truth is going to set our souls free from the bondage of sin. We're going to find ourselves repenting for the things that we've done. And I wish that we would just run back to God right now. Repent of those sins. Confess Christ. And for those that don't even know Christ, be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Because we've been putting that decision off far too long. We know it's time. But we sit on our thumbs and we still allow Satan to convince us, sit there a little while longer. Your life is going to continue. Sit there a little while longer. You don't have to worry about anything. Sit there a little while longer. By the time they make this age, you'll be able to come to Christ. Let me tell you something that's not guaranteed. To those that had believed, he said, you shall know the truth, and I know you know it. So why not let God's word set you free right now? Why not take that advice from God that he says, in my Father's house are many mansions? If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. The question is, do you want to go? You want to go? Or do you just want to come to church every Sunday and sit in here and pretend like you're listening to God and you're going to make a move? And hadn't made a move at all. Never. All them years you've been coming here. And never repented of your sins all those years you've been coming here, but you're sitting here taking the communion every Sunday and you've left God, made a decision to leave him, a split decision. My encouragement is for you to come back to God. If you've fallen away from Christ, listen, come back to God. And if you've never been baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins, listen to me, we're dealing with some smart people here who are reasonable and have common sense. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you know that is the truth. And allow him to save your soul. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's the gospel. That's my message to those of you who have graduated from high school, those of you who have graduated from college. Some people will never hear this. And for those of you who have graduated from the beggarly elements of this world, from sin, and have come back to God. We want to help you. We want you to make the right decision. You can do that as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Jesus is calling. Will you respond?
For you and for me.
Will there be one to respond to the gospel today? Will you come? Don't sit and make the decision some other time. Make the decision now to follow Christ, be baptized in water for remission of your sins. Won't you come home today?
Come home.
Come home. Come
home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tender. Is calling. Call.